reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found in Isaiah 55 on page 783 in your Bibles. Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's found on page 1255, and we read Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14 and 19 through 30. The Apostle Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Continuing at verse 19, For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still am. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. It's on page 1054. And we read Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' So, when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. In specific, what he says about his chains. "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." This is our text. We're in the process of celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. So you're going to be hearing over the next couple of months a lot of things about what's unique to Lutheranism. Part of that we call the three solas. Sola Scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia. That's Latin. And it means roughly this: only by Scripture, only by faith, only by grace. That last one, only by grace, focuses on how you read the Scriptures and what you're looking at from God. God, after all, has a lot of different attributes. God is just. God is patient. Sometimes God's angry. God can be a lot of the things that we are. Sometimes I'm angry with my children. Sometimes I am just with my children. But if that's all I was, would you want to grow up in my house? Would you want to live 5 doors down from me or 14 doors down from me? Or be a black sheep and move 5 minutes away? God is a lot of things. But what is the main thing about God? In Luther's early life, Luther thought it was justice. And he tried in his own life to satisfy that justice. And the more he tried, he realized, the more he failed. He reached a point where he was angry with God, where he hated God, because this God just can't be satisfied. But in particular, as he was studying the book of Romans, he came to understand God's justice in a new way. Yes, God is just, but God is also gracious. And grace is the attribute of God that is most important to him. If he has to temporarily set aside justice or temporarily set aside glory in order that he might be gracious, justice and glory will just have to wait. So that, in the words of Romans, for instance, chapter 3, that he might be just, but also the justifier by grace. Or as Paul talks about Jesus, though being in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but instead empties himself, takes on the form of a servant, and humbles himself to death, even death on the cross. Yes, God is glorious. Yes, God is just. But they all have to wait so that God might in the end be gracious. When we're reading Scripture, that's what we're looking for, is the grace of God. But it's not just the way we read Scripture. It's the way we read life. Some other words of the Apostle Paul which bear on our text for today and Paul's situation. From Romans 8, God is at work in everything for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. God is at work in everything for good? Even in that fourth down, 4 seconds left in the game last night. Even as Paul is sitting in prison, chained, there's some good there. Yes, there is. Paul found that it was serving the goal of his life, which also happened to be the goal that God wants for all of our lives. While we're in this sinful world, there's going to be pain, trouble, imprisonment, persecution. But God can make them all serve the gospel. And what Paul found was by virtue of his imprisonment and probably how he was handling it, it was encouraging and making bold other people to speak about Christ. It was setting an example for them that they do not need to be afraid, no matter what the opponents might be. Even in something which seems so senseless and unfair, if you will. I mean, imagine you're out trying to do something good, something nice. You're trying to show God's love in your life. And instead of being rewarded for it, you get hammered. Wouldn't it be tempting to look up at God and say, God, how come? Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Lord, this is not fair. I was trying to be good. That's how sin leads us to think. There's no grace here. There's no goodness here. It's absent. It can't be found. There must be some other explanation for what is going on in my life. But Paul didn't think that way. And while sitting in prison, and I've shared this with you before, he writes the most joyful book in all of Scripture. The words joy and rejoice occur more frequently here by far than any other book of the Bible. And it's because of grace. Because Paul learned to look for it everywhere in his life. Not by his own reason or logic, mind you, but because of the promise of God. He had learned that God's grace is the force that drives him. The attribute of God that all his other attributes serve. And when he promises, there's good in everything, he doesn't fail to keep his promise. And you're staring at one great symbol of that. The cross with which most Christian congregations adorn the front of their sanctuaries. And you're probably, how many of you have a cross on right now? Someplace, some piece of jewelry? Yeah. We carry around crosses. Do you know the cross is a torture device? I mean, how bizarre is this? We run around with torture devices and we gather together and place one of the most cruel torture devices ever devised by humankind in the front of our church, and we look at it and say, oh, what a wonderful cross. How could such a cruel device become a source of comfort to people? Because even though mankind and his evil and his wickedness and his heartlessness designed it for nothing good, God took it. He placed his son upon it. He allowed him to suffer and die. And by that brought salvation to the whole world. His justice and his anger that he wanted to pour out upon us, he poured out instead upon his son on the cross. That we might see his gracious face. And if God can take such a cruel and, if you will, inhuman device and make it the focus of our worship, the sign of our hope, our comfort in times of distress, can he not take anything else in our life? And even though it was meant for pain or suffering or evil, bring a blessing out of that as well. He can. But we need to train ourselves to look for it. And by our sinful natures, looking for good is not something we naturally do. That's why when you turn on the news or when you read a newspaper or you're just browsing around the internet, you're far more likely to find the negative than the positive. We all on occasion gossip, don't we? Why do we want to spread what is bad about somebody else? That's our nature. We by nature look for the bad, the evil. And we need to train ourselves to look elsewhere. Sola gratia. To look only for the grace of God. Even in the difficult and hard times of life. Even when everyone around us can't see anything that's good about this. To ponder and wonder, how can God use this to bring about a blessing? And when we look at life through the eyes of Scripture, this is God's promise to us. A blessing will be found. Yes, evil will be right beside it. But by the promise of God, who brought about our salvation through the worst of mankind, God will put the good there. There will always be that grace. Even in our own deaths, grace will be there. As through Christ, God has turned that to the gateway to eternal life. God grant that every day we look for that goodness and that grace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.